This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Hello and welcome everyone to Business by the Bay, where we talk to successful business leaders and discuss various challenges businesses face and also possible solutions. I'm your host, Ajay Sani, and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. It is a local payroll service provider for small businesses. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners, and are also helping qualified businesses get ERC, Employee Retention Credit. The credit is up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and up to $7,000 per employee for the first three quarters in 2021. For details, please call Payroll Vault at 925-273-7020. Today, I'm very happy to be in the studio with Doug Kennedy, who has worked in financial roles in five Fortune 500 companies, two Big Four public accounting firms, and one major investment firm. For the last 10 years, he has been a partner at CFOs To Go, a part of To Go Advisory Group, a regional consulting firm based in Walnut Creek, California. Doug grew up in a small town in Texas, and he attended college and grad school at the University of Texas at Austin, and then in 84, he moved to California to work for Intel. Good afternoon, Doug. How are you doing?
Thank you, AJ. Pleasure to see you. Pleasure to be here.
So let's start. Like, you have done, like, you know, variety of things in the financial industry and also all sorts of companies, technology. So you have very varied experience working in different types of industries. So what is your story? What is your journey so far? Can you talk about yourself?
Yeah, sure. You know, as a kid growing up in a small town in Texas, I wanted to get the heck out of the small town. So went to grad school in Austin and moved to Dallas. Had a nice job there for 5 years with United Technologies subsidiary. Got to know some people at Intel. And in 1984, they invited me to come to California and work for them. So I got to California, and I've had three chances to leave since then, and all three have fallen through, so I think I'm where I am supposed to be.
Yeah. So in terms of the advisory group, you mentioned, like, in your resume I was looking at, you have been a partner for 10 years. So as part of this group, being a partner there, what kind of problems you're solving?
You know, very basic problems that business owners run into all the time, you know, and it's things like as simple as, the bookkeeper didn't show up for work and there's cash missing from the checking accounts, or I need to graduate from QuickBooks to a more robust accounting system to help me understand how to run my business more effectively. And we can help you install that more robust accounting system. It can be things like refinancing debt. It can be buying a business, selling a business, anything like that, any sort of disruption in a business from normal operations that you need a consultant to come in and help you. We've got a team of fractionals in disciplines like finance, HR, IT, communications, operations, sales, and marketing that can help you with that. And if you need to hire some people on an either temporary or full-time basis, we've got a team of recruiters who can do that work for you as well. So we're kind of the one-stop shopping for business owners who have business problems.
Great. And when you say business problems, it's not necessarily related to the financial aspect, though that's the bottom line. Eventually, the cash flow is what that creates the issues in first place. But overall, they could come for basically anything. It could be efficiencies. Yeah. It could be also related to, as you mentioned, hiring or growth. They are unable to grow, or they are kind of stagnant and they're saying we need to change or invest or buy some other complimentary services, kind of things.
Right. Yeah, you know, the most frequent call we get is business owners like, you know, I don't understand my cash flow issues. And when they say cash flow, it's like, bingo, we can help you with that. We can put together a 13-week rolling cash flow forecast. We'll help you understand your cash position, what's flowing in, what's flowing out, and meshing the timing of those so that everything works smoothly. And once we've got you straightened out on that, you're going to be a much more confident business owner and a much more effective business decision maker.
Right. And the other part is, like, if as part of the team in any business, if there are people who are sort of CFO type of people, then if they are able to dedicate some time in an effective manner, then they should be able to sort of address problem in-house, but as we see a lot of times, business owners, they get into the business because they love to do something.
Right.
So they are good at like a, you know, product or a service, mm-hmm. and they're passionate about it, and they want mm-hmm. to solve those kind of things, and they don't have really expertise when it comes to handle or be a CFO of the company. So when that happens, and obviously there will be a struggle if you are mm-hmm. not good at something, you can't learn certain things on the fly, then I guess there are two options for them. One, go and hire a CFO, mm-hmm. or go and contact an outsourced CFO firm and say that, okay, hey, can you come and help us out? So how do we decide as a business, like when is it a good time mm-hmm. to get a CFO?
Well, you know, most of our clients are in the 5 to 25 million in revenue space. Mm-hmm. And we've got a few clients that are 50, 100 million, not many, mm-hmm. but most of those 5 to 25 million are in some phase of growth. And growth is the thing that tends to be the biggest challenge. The business owner is looking at it and saying, how do I scale my organization to meet the demands of growth? So when I've got 5 employees, I can have a staff meeting in a small conference room and communicate everything I know mm-hmm. to everybody in the company in a heartbeat.
Right.
When it becomes 25 employees, now I need processes, procedures, you know, protocols, all those kinds of things. That's what we can help you with. And it begins in the finance discipline, but it advances through HR and IT. You know, how do I put together a blog, mm-hmm. a newsletter, some other communications mechanism that makes communication of relevant business information to all of my employees effective?
Got it. Makes sense. So if there is a business who is in the growth phase, or even maybe like, you know, even in the initial stages, mm-hmm. started off and may not even have reached yet 5 million, but the projections look good.
Right.
And the business decides that, okay, hey, now is the time because I'm really struggling to keep everything in place. It's growing, but now I know, I get a sense that if I don't act, things will fall through the cracks and that will be a disaster. So mm-hmm. let me hire someone. And let's say they decide that it's the right time to outsource and let's mm-hmm. reach out to a firm who can provide like an outsourced CFO. How do you pick one? Because there are, and in today's day and age, if we go on Google, there are hundreds and thousands of options available.
Exactly right.
So how do you pick who is the right one for me?
Well, we'd like you to pick us, but beyond that, I would say, you know, you've got to find people that you're comfortable with personally. Mm-hmm. And if you're comfortable with someone personally, it's easy to figure out whether they have the technical skills or not. It's finding that personal rapport that tends to be the difficult thing. And quite candidly, a lot of financial people are not the most sort of outgoing, personable individuals in the world. They're a little shy, typically. And in fact, our founder and CEO says this all the time. It's like, I don't need you to be the greatest salesperson on earth. You know, you're not going to sell product at IBM. But if you can go to a networking event and have a reasonable conversation with the business owner, that's all I need out of you financial types. Now, the sales and marketing people, he has higher expectations for. But nevertheless, when I came to this business 10 years ago, I was kind of mm-hmm. a subject matter expert.
Right.
Over time, I've learned how to talk to people, believe it or not. And so now I'm kind of the business development person of the CFO group. Not that I'm the only one. There are several of us that have the skills because a lot of guys have been around as long as I have and gals too.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's like anything else. You work at it a while, you get better at it.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing from you is that if a business owner is looking for a CFO, it's extremely important that when we are talking, we feel that we can trust the person has similar values, the person is on the same bandwidth, and we can get along, because you don't want not necessarily a very different personality. It's not about the personality as such, it's more like, is there a connection? Can I trust this person?
Exactly. Yeah. Can you become a trusted advisor? Or when you meet someone, do you have a sense about them that you can trust their judgment and their intuition about business matters? Because you know they've got the training and experience in accounting or finance, whatever discipline you're looking for. So it's that personal connection that tends to make the difference. You know, we always say it's the technical skills, the accounting and financial skills that get you in the door, but it's the sort of soft skills, the HR skills, the emotional intelligence mm-hmm. that keeps you in the door and broadens the engagement into a more appealing result.
Makes sense. So, Doug, you mentioned that you would like the businesses to pick your firm, which is very, natural for right. any business to see that way. Mm-hmm. What do you think are your key differentiators? Why should businesses consider a firm like you or your firm, to be specific?
I think the thing that makes us a little bit different is that we have several fractional disciplines as opposed to some of our competitors who only do financial work. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't do any HR consulting. Maybe they'll outsource that to another consulting firm or something like that. We've got in-house expertise that can do that. Plus, we have a bench of people that are not partners. Our firm is about 30 partners now. Mm-hmm. When I joined up, I was partner number 5, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So we've grown dramatically. And we have very dramatic growth goals going forward for the next 24 to 36 months. We'd like to get up to about 50 partners, maybe even 60 if things break our way. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely in a strong growth mode and looking to expand our footprint from a Northern California geography to a more regional or even national footprint mm-hmm. if we can get the right people to join us.
Got it. So the benefit is that rather than just getting the financial advice, if your group is working with a business, there are multiple disciplines that you can support and basically look into the overall health right. of the company and achieve their targets.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Plus, our partners tend to be, people of, I've got a little gray hair, as you can see, what little hairs left. But they're people with substantial business experience, 20 plus, in some cases, 30 plus years in business. So they've been around, seen a number of things, worked on a different range of different projects, and have the expertise and the knowledge that comes with all those varied experiences. So we can bring more than just knowledge of the accounting model mm-hmm. to the party, if you will.
Yeah. Would you like to share some examples, some scenarios that you have helped with? Because you have done top 10 years you've been working, so I'm sure you've worked with, hundreds of clients or more. So do you want to just share a little bit in a generic sense some of the things that you have done so that listeners can get some idea what you have helped? And also maybe you can touch mm-hmm. how you have been measuring the success when you engage with someone. How do you measure how successful the company has been because of your efforts? Maybe a little bit of your process, how you do it so that people get the sense of ways of working.
Sure. I'd say the thing that we tend to do more of than anything else is assessment. So a business owner will call, he or she describes a problem, which in reality probably is 2 or 3 problems wound mm-hmm. up together, mm-hmm. even though they may not realize it. So we'll say to them, well, look, you've described what you think is the issue. Why don't you let us take a look at it working with you and your people, and let's make an assessment of it, and we'll give you a sort of a guide for what we think you need to do next and in what order you need to do those things. And then we can work together to budget that out and see if you want to go forward, and if so, in what order you want to go forward and what you can expect to spend in order to do that. And then you're free to choose to work with us if mm-hmm. you choose, or go with someone else if you prefer that. So that's the process that mm-hmm. has been most successful for us. In my personal case, I've had 2 or 3 engagements that are sort of bellwethers, if you will. Mm-hmm. We helped a very sort of financially enabled family mm-hmm. here in the Bay Area open their single family office. They had never done that before in their career, and they needed help with that. So that was a serious undertaking. The other really interesting things kind of came out of left field. A few years ago, I get a call from a partner of mine. He's like, hey, there's a litigator in San Jose who needs a receiver. And a receiver is kind of a what courts call a neutral, someone to perform a certain task for litigants while litigation is ongoing. So I said, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So I call this litigator, talk to him. He's like, yeah, I think, you've got skills. You could do it. But, on our list of 5 preferred service providers, you're number 7. But here's the number of the other person's attorney. Called them and talked to them. So I called that individual, spoke with her, and she said, yeah, you could do the work. But, we've got others that will likely take precedence. So thanks. Nice to meet you. So forth and so on. A few months later, I get a call back from the the second attorney, she said, "You've been selected as a receiver in this case. So when can you get started?" I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. So for the next 18 months there, I was working with the litigants and the judge in this court case. And it was fascinating work. It was, you know, I literally became the CEO of about a $20 million company for about a year and a half. And we worked out a settlement between the litigants, working together with both sets of attorneys. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating work. It was long hours and a lot of stress, but it was incredibly rewarding. And ultimately, the case got resolved. So that it was interesting. I learned a heck of a lot, but it wasn't easy every day. So it was a growth experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember getting stuck in a conference room in San Jose with about three commercial litigators who were convinced that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And they kind of tore into me for a few minutes. And suddenly, out of nowhere, this sort of old broken down accountant came up with some advocacy skills and mm-hmm. successfully defended himself against these this onslaught. It was actually a lot of fun. I'm dramatizing for effect here, but it was very interesting and very professional people, all of these litigators.
Wow. So that's very interesting in terms of the case. But if you talk about your typical clients, mm-hmm. your bread and butter type of clients,
right.
What are those type of situations that commonly, you know, are whether the type of industries or mm-hmm. or the type of issues that mm-hmm. they call you with? And just like listening to the very first sentence or something, saying, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know, I'd say it's something like maybe a service firm, an engineering firm, or an architecture firm. It can even be a bike shop that has grown dramatically. They need better accounting systems in place. QuickBooks is not providing all that they need, so they need to migrate to Intacct or to some other accounting system. Mm-hmm. So they need help implementing that. So that's a very typical kind of engagement for us. Or the other thing that tends to happen a lot is that business owner calls up and says, look, we've outgrown our bookkeeper. Can you help us with what resource we need next? Is it a senior accountant? Is it a controller, an assistant controller? Do we need to hire a CFO? Can you come out and help us figure out the answer to that? So that's a very typical call as well.
Got it. So do you also help, like, if someone is interested in hiring a full-time CFO?
Yes.
And so then you help because you are so experienced. That's what you do day in and day out. So you know who is a good CFO.
Yeah, we've got a team of recruiters and a bank of resumes. We can reach out and find you the skills that you need very quickly. And it doesn't matter where it is in the country. We can probably find you someone within 5 days anywhere in the continental United States, regardless of where that is, if mm-hmm. you need that kind of skill level.
Great. That's very good to know. So listeners, if you are interested or you're looking to hire a CFO or you're just looking to get some help with your business right now, maybe, you know, reach out to Doug's firm to see how he and his team can help you achieve whatever your goals are. So is it like being in the Bay Area, is it more technology heavy?
There's a little bit more emphasis on technology in the Bay Area, yes. But it's not just that. And we work with a lot of non-technology businesses as well. You know, a lot of plumbers and other service providers. We have a floor testing client, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a lot of service providers of that nature.
Right. And I guess from a business point of view, the problems are very similar.
They are.
No matter what we are, like, you know, if we have a product, we have a product. Doesn't matter whether mm-hmm. it's technology or it's something traditional, but
yeah, I'd say where it gets a little more mm-hmm. complicated is if you're in a manufacturing business and mm-hmm. you need cost accounting details for your business, that gets more complex. We have people that can do that work, mm-hmm. but that's not the most common. And, you know, if you're in manufacturing of some product where cost accounting variances and things like that become important to you, we've got people who can do that work, or we've got relationships with people who can do it, but it's not the most common. It tends to be more in the nature of service firms or small product firms. Maybe it's a retail store or something like that. So the accounting is remarkably similar for all of those businesses, whether it's a medical device company that you're building some new medical device that's going to revolutionize healthcare or something like that, or you're just providing us, you know, a service of grooming pets or whatever.
Right.
The accounting tends to be remarkably similar.
And in your line of work, what are some of the common mistakes that you see businesses make that ultimately actually help? Those things help you in a way because they come to you for help. But to begin with, what are some of the common...
You see this quite often as a business owner who's, maybe a fairly sophisticated person or something like that. They want to hire somebody from graduate school to be their first CFO, when in fact, what you probably need to hire first is a bookkeeper, get the books figured out, and then you bring in your friend from grad school who can oversee that person. It's not the friend from grad school first, it's the bookkeeper first. Mm-hmm. Get the financials, the chart of accounts figured out, get the statements together, make that happen, and then you can bring in your friends who can add higher level value to the business as a result of those things being in place.
Cool. Yeah. Good suggestion. So talking about, like, I want to sort of request you to share your wisdom with the listeners. So let me phrase the question this way, that say you're talking to a group of business owners and they ask you for some advice in order to be successful, a generic advice, like if a business wants to be successful, no matter where they are, whether they're starting up or they are in the growth phase, or they've been highly successful, in order to achieve their goals, what should they be doing or what they should not be doing so that the chances of achieving their goals are high? If that's the kind of question you're asked, what kind of suggestions you would give?
Here's what I would say to anyone that, and particularly so with people who are starting a business. It goes back to the seven habits of highly effective people that Stephen Covey propagated some, 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago, perhaps even longer ago. But he had this statement about begin with the end in mind. So when you start your business, figure out where you want to go in 5 years. What does an exit look like that is successful to you? Is it take the company public in a big stock offering? Is it sell it off to a competitor or to sell it off to a bigger company, or turn it over to your children or sell it to some competitor or something like that. But have a goal in mind for where you want to go in 5 years. And if you get there, you can activate it if you wish, but you can also change your mind about where you want to go next if you do succeed. But begin with that goal in mind, and that will give you an objective to work toward that shapes and disciplines all of your efforts for the next several years. Without that, you're just working with no particular goal in mind, and you don't know how to prioritize tasks. And there's constant work to be done in small businesses, as you well know. But without some mechanism to set priorities for you, very difficult to achieve success.
Prioritization is the key. And then I guess what you are saying is have a clear exit strategy.
Yes.
And that exit strategy could be anything. It could be, like you said, selling it to someone, or it could be handing it over to the family, friend, whatever, you know, whatever one thinks is the future of the company in 5 years.
Right.
That should be sort of written now.
Exactly. You should have that in mind, sort of a daily reminder about where you want to go with that business. And also, if you're not achieving those goals, it will tell you, hey, let's shut this thing down and walk away because it's not working. And the sooner you understand that a business isn't going to work and you close it and walk away from it, the better off you're going to be. Because I see a lot of business owners think, oh, I know this is going to work if I just hang on a little bit longer. And many times you have to say to them, sorry, it's not going to work. Let's make the smart decision and walk away from it and do something else. Sell off the assets, whatever, pivot to another product, service line offering, whatever. And if you look at the history of many businesses, what they achieve success in is not what they started out to do. Maybe they pivoted two or three times. I can think of one company in particular. I don't want to mention their name, but it's a very famous company here in the Bay Area. What they ended up being enormously successful in was not at all what they started off to be when they first came together.
Yeah, makes sense, because I think the most difficult thing is if you are somewhere in the middle, you're hanging in there, because then it's kind of a hope that, okay, I am there, I have done something, so I can go a little bit more, and then, you know, I'll turn the corner, like, just, I need a little bit of this. Because if you're really struggling, then there is absolutely no hope, then something has to change immediately because it's in a bad shape. So either you sell, move out, or do something because there is no choice available. If you're successful, then you're successful. Then you're looking at growth and all and expanding. Then also it's relatively easier because then you have at least the muscle power behind once you have tasted the success. But if you're right in the middle where you're kind of, oh, I'm break even, and you're just hanging in there and it's not growing, it's like you have no way to sort of leverage anything. And at the same time, it's like enough work has been done and it's so difficult, and then you're attached to it and say, yeah, little bit more and I'll get a little bit more. And unless something drastic is done or something has to change to, otherwise same effort will give the same result.
You know, it's interesting. You touched on the word growth. You know, the reality is that if a business isn't growing 10 to 15% per year, it's actually shrinking, whether you realize it or not. So a business either needs to grow or you need to shut it down and walk away from it. And so I say all the time to business owners, be really careful about how you invest your time and energy in a business. If it's not growing, let's find something else for your skills and abilities. So I'd say the key to success, as I see it, is that you've got to be adaptable to changing situations, and you've got to have the flexibility to work within those adaptations that you need to make as a leader in order to be successful. That doesn't mean you're going to automatically be successful, but it heightens the chances that you will achieve success.
Great. Sound advice, Doug. So if any of our listeners want to contact you, what's the best way to reach you?
I'd say reach out to the To Go Advisory Group in Walnut Creek, California, or you know, you can reach out to me on my my phone. If you don't mind, I'm happy to give that out.
Sure.
It's 415-770-3840. Again, that number in area code 415 is 770-3840.
Great, Doug. Thanks a lot for your time today, and I really enjoyed the conversation.
Pleasure on my side as well. Thank you so much.
So listeners, thank you for joining us on Business by the Bay today. This show was brought to you by Payroll Vault. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You can find the recording of the show on our website, businessbythebay.live. Please feel free to contact us in case you have any questions. You can send us an email at info@businessbythebay.live. Take care and have a wonderful weekend.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.